years ago, my husband Tom and I both read a book that was titled Wheel of Fortune. It had nothing to do with the TV game show, but rather was a story written by Susan Hawitch about a very proper British family in 19th century England. And there was an expression used by that family which has always stuck with us, for it was a belief on which the whole story turned, and that was the notion that they were always to do the done thing. This was their phrase they used to capture the notion that everyone was to behave in the way that was expected of them. They were to strictly adhere to the written and unwritten rules of both society and the family. And life was to be lived only in this very correct way. So doing the done thing was enormously important, and it controlled everyone's behavior. However, if they did follow the rules, then they could always be sure that they were operating within the acceptable norms. With this in mind, then, it's very clear that Jesus was never big on doing the done thing. To the contrary, he seemed to delight in doing just the opposite of what was expected, thus turning people's ideas and expectations right on their ear. For he was constantly crossing both social and religious boundaries. By running around with a bunch of uneducated fishermen, by hanging out with tax collectors and prostitutes, and by challenging the religious leaders at every possible opportunity. By doing so, Jesus captured people's attention, and then he used that situation to shake them out of their preconceived notions and expectations, hoping that they would then begin to see the world in new and unexpected ways. For he was trying to bring a whole new way of life to the people, and he did whatever he could to help them recognize that the kingdom of God operated with an entirely different set of norms from what they were used to. For instead of bunches of endless rules and regulations, what was now expected was love, compassion, justice, and mercy. And he called upon the people to worship God instead of all those rituals and laws that had grown up about God. So not only did Jesus break boundaries socially, but he also broke down the rather complicated barriers that had been erected between God and the people. To Jesus, doing the done thing was simply the love of God and the love of neighbor, and everything else was a far distant second. And today's gospel then is a classic example of Jesus operating in just this way. For not only did he break numerous taboos by talking to a woman and physically touching her, but he also did it on the Sabbath, in the synagogue, in front of a lot of people. And the woman was healed. So Jesus openly disobeyed countless religious and social laws, and the synagogue leader who witnessed these actions, well, he was appalled and absolutely furious. With no thought whatsoever about the woman who had been healed, he angrily protested that that action was just not acceptable. And he asserted that surely there were other more appropriate times for miracles. So this man was quite obviously very invested in doing the done thing. And as a result, he was insensitive, unmerciful, and short-sighted. For he witnessed an actual healing, and it made absolutely no difference to him. He was so busy accounting for all the laws that had been broken, and so wrapped up in the notion of how things should be done, that he missed the divine grace of God that was right there under his nose. He preferred rule-keeping to the restoration of human health and dignity. And in doing so, he earned the wrath of Jesus and the shame of all the religious leaders. So this is a powerful story, in that it points out to us one of the inherent challenges of living as a Christian. For certainly there are rules and norms, and doing the done thing is often a good thing. However, the problems arise when doing the done thing becomes the only thing and causes us to miss the radical love and mercy of Jesus Christ. Because when we try to confine the divine power of God into a safe little box of our own rules and expectations, we are limited in our ability to catch sight of God's miraculous power and grace. And in doing so, in trying to box it all up, then we may become insensitive, unmerciful, and short-sighted. We may become a religious people who, instead of supporting human health and dignity, cry out in protest when God acts way outside our expected norms. So stories like this remind us of what Jesus considered to be important, and they show us where his real interest lies. So we must recognize then that quite often the reason we want to do the done thing is because it helps us feel safe and very comfortable. We think that if we fulfill our obligations, act within acceptable norms, and follow all the rules, we can rest assured that our duty has been done and we are good. In the long run, however, doing that done thing may leave us far short of the life of faith that Christ has set before us. For as Christians, we are not called to be comfortable, but rather we're called to a life that risks challenge and works for change, a life where God's love and mercy inspires and shapes everything we do. Because God did not send Jesus so that we could stay all comfy just where we are, but rather to transform us into living witnesses to the reconciling power and love of Jesus Christ. For God is generous. God is surprising and resourceful. And we should not limit God or limit ourselves in the work that can be accomplished in this world. Therefore, the next time we catch ourselves saying, "Oh, but we've never done it this way," or if we say, "Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be done," or if we even say, "Well, we can't possibly do that," anytime we catch ourselves saying one of those phrases, we need to ask ourselves, is it the time for doing the done thing? Or is this a time to recognize the Spirit of God at work in our lives and in the world? And with God's help, we will find an answer to those questions, and we will assuredly be blessed and transformed in the process. Amen.